me of believing for greater things. I want to aim for some greater things. I'm aiming higher. I'm aiming higher personally. I'm aiming higher professionally. I'm aiming higher as your pastor. I'm aiming higher as a shepherd. And if I aim higher and I still fall short, I've already fallen short of one of my goals. Although I'm not a quitter. One of my goals this year was to read 52 books this year. Do the math. That's one a week. I'm 3 books in. So I've fallen behind. But guess what? If I set a goal to read 52 books and I read 12 this year, that will be a 7 more than I read last year. Some of y'all are like, book? What's a book? Yeah, I know how it goes. I know what a pop-up book is. I get those. Understand this. We're I'm aiming for excellence. As your pastor, I'm aiming for excellence. I'm trying to do things with a more excellent way. I'm pressing deeper. I'm pressing in harder to the Spirit of God. I'm spending more time in prayer, not less time in prayer. I'm spending more time in His Word, not less time in His Word. I'm actually dialing in and setting specific time aside for me to go sit in a room and think. Yeah. You get paid for that? Yes, I do. The Bible says to dream dreams and see visions, and that's where it's going to happen. So I don't set aside enough time for me to quiet myself, because I always come to God with, God, do this, do this, do this. Bless my mess. Bless our church. Send us more people. And He's like, what are you doing with the ones I got that I've already sent you? Okay, thank you for that reminder, God. I'll shepherd them the best I can. So I'm aiming higher this year. Are you aiming higher this year? We're already 27th. I'm 27 days into our 1 year through the New Testament thing. I haven't missed a day yet. It's awesome. It's about an 8-minute series. You can jump on. You can get on there right now. You're only 27 days behind. Big deal. You do 27 days in the next year, and you will have read the entire New Testament in a year. It's a challenge to do this. It's a challenge to take things to another level. You want bigger, better results? We got to do things bigger and better this next year. Plant bigger seed. This isn't about God's love. This is about, do you want greater things for you to happen in your life this next year? I want greater outcomes. I still want to press in harder. We looked in this series these last couple of weeks in this greater series. And I'm going to stay on this greater series for a bit, but I'm going to shift a little bit. Right now, the first week we talked about how we can stay hinged to God's purpose in our lives. And then one of my favorites, it was my favorite because the last time I was with you, was talked about how we can stay thankful in everything. Not for everything, but we can be thankful in everything. And how gratitude is the attitude we need to have for future blessings. And sometimes the only blockage to my future blessings is my current attitude. Hello? Amen. Y'all got to help me out. Remember, I told you I was up all night long. You got to shout an amen once in a while. Just wake me up. You never know if I might slip off into some other rabbit trail. Amen. Thank you. We last week, Pastor King came and brought a word about living through personal breakthroughs. I want to talk about standing on the promises of God. Through this series, we were reminded we can stand on the promises of God. But remember that our purpose and our identity is directly connected with God's will in our lives. How many of you want to know God's will in your life? In order to know God's will in your life, you need to know your identity. You need to know who you are in Christ. We need to know the promises that God has made for every single one of us. Sometimes, though, in this life, we face really tough circumstances. And you and I both know that circumstances so often speak loudly than the Word of God does in our lives. We can get our eyes quickly off of the Word and get them onto the circumstances. And if we're not careful, those circumstances will begin to define how we actually or dictate the way we'll live our life. It's a great example of that in the scriptures where the lame man, every single day, this was his lot in life. They picked him up, brought him to the pool, laid him down. He begged for money every single day. They picked him up, took him home. This was his lot in life. It's happened every single day. Peter and John come off they're off to pray. Go by this guy. Hey, come on, give me something to eat. Give me some food. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. This man had been so conditioned to his daily condition. He'd been conditioned to his traditions. I love the fact that he's called a lame man. Lame people settle. And I mean that the way it sounds. Lame people settle. God has something greater. Well, this is my lot in life. This is all that God has for me. This is it. Sometimes tough things happen and we face tough circumstances, or we struggle with an illness for a long time, like this man. He says in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he's literally, the lame man's confronted with God's will for his life. God's will was for him to walk. But his own personal connection was his daily routine. If we're not careful, we can get so caught up in our daily routine, which is just a rut, by the way. A rut. God wants to break us out of that. We face all kinds of things, that circumstances that will try and bury us. Sometimes we face generational sicknesses in our lives. Sicknesses, and we think that somehow those things are our destiny. Well, my father was an alcoholic. His father before him was an alcoholic. His father before him was an alcoholic. Therefore, I curse that in the name of Jesus. That lie dies today. You break the chain off today. Not tomorrow, today. Break it off. We can just buy into that and just say, well, okay. And I'm, again, not trying to downplay like a genetic disposition that a person might have, a leaning towards something, but there is no single genetic disposition. There's no single generational curse or generational craving that God can't overcome. That you can't be completely 100% victorious. Wave that wand. Well, I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. So am I. Good. Doesn't mean you get to be a jerk. Hello? I'm preaching to somebody today. I don't know. Maybe I'm just preaching to me. God knows what's best for our lives. Well, here's even worse one, where we're sellout. And again, we're talking about standing on the promises of God. I'm going to get there for a minute. But here's what happens. We can't get off of our present circumstances enough to get on the promises. And so we'll do things like this. Well, you know, I'm not that race. Or I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. This is my lot in life. I don't deserve. It's just my hot Irish temper. No, you're a jerk. Knock it off. You're set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be set free. We don't have to just give in to the situation and just, oh, well, that's just my lot in life. Over the last few weeks, we've learned that despite our circumstances, we can enter into a sweet place of thanksgiving and worship and surrender to God's will. We looked at how Paul taught the church in Rome to surrender our bodies as spiritual worship to the Lord. When you stood here this morning in worship time, when you stood and lifted your hands before the Lord, you never looked more like heaven. That was what was going on in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You were giving your bodies as a living sacrifice. And let me not just count something here. How many of you are human? Real quick. Okay, that's what I thought. So how many of you face difficulty getting here today? Come on, wave and be honest. This isn't like, you know, now put your hand down if difficulty was, I just didn't want to get out of bed. That's your... I'm talking about fighting with the family, all that mess, you know. Come on, get in the car. We're going to church to praise Jesus. Put a smile on your face. Come on. When they say, how you doing? Tell them you're doing good. We all face circumstances, every single one of us. And despite our circumstances, God wants you to know you can be free from the circumstances. And there's promises in the Word of God. The promises are true, and I want you to be aware of those today. The scripture says this in Colossians 3. Paul taught on the subject of being renewed. He says, you put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Paul's talking about spiritual renewal. And Paul says, if you and I want to be renewed, and by renewed in this context, what I'm talking about is, you've been given a promise. But sometimes we've been given a promise and we're waiting and we're waiting and are waiting. Well, the worst words I ever heard as a child, as a young husband / father with my children was, but daddy, you promised. Dang, I hated those words. Because I did, and I had to come through. And usually Ashley would pull that stuff with me too. Daddy, you promised. Oh. He says you can be renewed. How are we renewed? By standing on the promises of God. The process of the spiritual renewal is being thankful and to have a thankful heart and to praise God and to hear the word of God. And the Bible says that when we do that, the peace of God will rule our hearts. So in the middle of waiting for your promise to come through, you can have the peace of God ruling your hearts the entire time. You can have that according to the scripture. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called one body, and to be thankful. Look at that. Be thankful. Everybody say thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in wisdom and teaching, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord and giving thanks to God the Father through him. We get to this place of standing. We can stand firmly on the promises of God if we'll set ourselves up by being thankful, by singing praise for his grace in our lives, and by letting the word of God dwell in our hearts richly. It's so very important that we understand this coming year for 2019 that, yeah, we need to be thankful in everything. We need to be grateful in everything. We need to be praising God continually. And when we do that, we need to put our minds on what the word of God says and let the word of God unlock the very potential for who you are in Christ. This is the word of God. Think of the promise that maybe God made to some of you in this room. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was at a youth camp. Maybe it was when you first came to Christ. Think of the promise he gave to David. David's actually anointed king. Anointed king. And Saul, the king, seeks to kill David. I don't know, about 10 years long, he's trying to kill David. The entire time, David's like, but dude, I'm the king. I've been anointed king. While waiting for the promise to come true, he faced a lot of difficult circumstances. But it didn't mean God lied to him. It meant he had to stay in the promise. How do we stay in the promise? You get a hold of that word and you don't let go of that word. The word of God that God gave to David was that he was going to be the king. And he held on to it through all the bad circumstances. The promises of God that were given to him on the laying on hands and the anointing of oil. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that Sarah herself receive strength to conceive seed. It says she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So stop. Let's pretend we've never heard the story before. 90 plus year old woman. Sarah, you're about to give birth. Thank you. Thanks for playing. Gave it the office. Thanks. 90 years old. Are you kidding me? Some of you ladies in this room are like, yeah, I wouldn't want to do it today, much less at 90. You've already been there, done that, right? 90. And oh, by the way, Sarah's like, and have you seen old dude that's with me? What is going on? But because she knows that God has given her this word, she knows that God has judged, she's judged God as being faithful to what he's promised. Understand this, God's will for us is found in God's word, and it's always God's will that his word should override every single one of our circumstances. His word overrides my circumstances. His word is louder than your ATM balance right now. You're right, Pastor, because there's nothing in there. It's not very loud right now. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He's either a liar or he's telling the truth. Hello? This is the word of God. This is what we need in our... We want to stand on the promises of God. We need to get in the word of God. So understand this. To learn God's will for our lives, we need to pay attention to God's word for our lives. Look at what he says in 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the end of Jesus Christ our Lord. For time's sake, let me... He goes on, he says, I'm going to give you great, exceeding, precious promises. But let me stop for a minute. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the multiplier. How many of you need more grace? More peace? Well, do you think you're just going to wake up with more grace and peace? The knowledge of God is going to multiply grace and peace back to you. Surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, but you got to stop once in a while and let it catch you. Trust the word of God, the promises of God. Peter's saying that God's great and precious promises are here. They're given to us through the knowledge of God. And it's literally spoken to us through the word of God. Friends, listen, we need to know God's word and we need to follow God's word. We need to find out what the promises are in the word of God and get a hold of these. If you need a healing, you need to find out what the healing promises are in the scriptures. If you need a financial miracle, get in here and find out what the... And now we live in a great day. We live in a great Google. Healing scriptures. Backspace. I forgot how to spell scriptures. Healing scriptures. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Click. Brrr, healing scriptures. Need a financial miracle. What does God say in this word about financial blessings for his people? Brrr. Back in the day, we had encyclopedias. Bunches of books. We laid books out all over tables and stuff. Gosh, I love the digital age so much better. I'm just saying we almost have it too easy. We could just need to, like, well, I need a promise on this. I need a promise. The word of God. Let me just say this. The Bible is one huge promise to mankind. It's God's word. I love this word. The scriptures, the entire Bible is one big promise to every one of us. And there's probably chapter after chapter after chapter in this word that there's a promise for you and a promise for me. We need to know what those are. The good news today is the more we contemplate on God's purposes for our lives, the more we contemplate on the Word of God, the more His promises come to life in our lives. And the more our hearts become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to His Word for us. Understand this, when we're sensitive to the Spirit, and we're sensitive to what He's saying to us, we can be more thankful in all of our circumstances. Circumstance comes your way, and you just immediately spin it right back at Him. In the middle of the night, because I've been up all night long, I watched the Australian Open. Because there's nothing else to do between midnight and 4 a.m. And I watched these guys, and they would spin the ball, and the guy would spin it back and spin it, and then sometimes they would double spin it, and I'm like, I like that. The enemy throws something at me, I'm going to spin it double right back at him. I'm going to spin it with the Word of God. He's going to come bring doubt in my life? No, he's not going to bring doubt. I'm going to bring out faith in my life. I'm sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying in my life. We need to find out what is in the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to us. I love it because when we open this Bible, it's the only book ever written where the author shows up to explain it to us every time. And I don't care what scripture it is. Let's just pretend for a moment. We need to stop reading past scriptures. The ones we've read before. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16. I memorized that in Sunday school. Stop reading past it like you've read it a million times. And read it like it's the first time. And say, God, what do you want to read? Because it's alive right now today. Shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. Two words, Jesus wept. I don't know, Alan's pop quiz. He's like, dang it, Pastor. What does Jesus wept mean to you? One sentence. What does that mean to you? Okay. What's the context of Jesus wept?
He feels human sorrow.
Oh, he feels human sorrow. Why was he weeping? Because his friend passed away. But I love it, though. But he sin, right? What else does Jesus wept mean? What does it mean? What? Huh? Say it. You said it. Huh? Sadness. Here's what I'm saying. Two words. You got one thing. You got one thing. You got another thing. Jesus is close to those who are brokenhearted. He knows what it feels like to lose a loved one. Jesus has feelings. Jesus didn't come to earth as a robot. Like, there's two words. We can just say, let's spend the next 2 hours on those two words. Are you hearing me? The Word of God is alive. We read past it like, oh my God, shall supply all your needs according to. He's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. If you plant seed, you'll reap a harvest. If you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Those are scriptures we shouldn't read past. And sometimes I feel like that is in church life, we run the risk of getting inoculated against the Word and the truth of the gospel of the Word. You run out to go get your flu shot. Please don't give me emails after. I don't believe in it, whatever. It's illustrative purposes only. But why do people do that? Because they don't want to get the flu. They inoculate themselves. I feel like sometimes we've heard the word so many times that it's lost its effectiveness in us. We've almost lost it. The potency is just not there anymore. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. How many believe that? See? Didn't even have any potency right there. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. How many believe that? I mean, if we believe that, come on now. Act like that's the first time you ever heard that. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Amen, Pastor. Whew, I didn't know this was going to be so audience participation this morning. How else am I going to stay awake during the service? Are you hearing me? We just read past the scriptures like they're not alive. It's alive and it's speaking to you today. The Word of God is filled with promises for you. And once we've seen the promises of God and in His Word, then we need to begin to declare this Word over us and let this Word define who we are, not what the circumstances are. Well, that's my lot in life. This says something else. Well, that's just who my family is. This says something else. Well, you don't know. I'm a jolt child of an alcoholic. This says I'm a child of the living Most High God. This says I'm a no good knucklehead. This says I'm an overcomer through the blood of Jesus who set me free. Amen. Define yourselves by what is in the Word of God. The Word of God speaks louder. Find out what's in it and then begin to declare it over yourself. The religious people thought that they could, you know, appear religious. And that would somehow make them, they would not only feel better about their religious moves, but they would, everybody else would think, well, they're religious. When in reality of it, Jesus walked up and went, you're like whitewashed tombs. All washed up on the outside and full of dead men's bones on the inside. Would to God, that's not us, church. Okay, with the exception of myself, I hope you didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, I have to go to church. Because I had that feeling this morning. After being up over 24 hours. Oh, I have to go to church this morning. So I get an exemption. Is that okay? But if you woke up with that, no, I'm just playing with you. If you woke up with that on your heart, you missed it. You get to go to church. You get to be a part of a fellowship. You get to come here and be encouraged today. You get to find out what the Word of God says, and you get to meditate on the Word of God. See, when we understand the Word of God, we learn to define, let it define us instead of our circumstances. Let the power of God and the Word of God affect our lives. See, if we just allow circumstances, those things are powerless. Because one of the things about circumstances, if you allow circumstances to define you, then what happens when the circumstances change? They no longer define you. You're not that thing anymore. You're known as this. You're known as this. You're known as this. A lot of people struggle with that. Somebody's a sinner. Somebody's away from Jesus. Then they come to Christ. And their family doesn't know what to do with them because now they're a Jesus freak. Come on, if you've been in church a minute, you know what I'm talking about. Well, my son's been on drugs for 20 years and now he's just like, can't. He's always at the church. Like, that's a problem. He's become a Jesus junkie. Ha! Amen. Like, that's an issue. Are you hearing me? What happens is he found out that he could have freedom in Christ. He doesn't have to deal with that addiction any longer. He can be set free. We find out what the Word says. We begin to declare the Word over us. And it becomes a prophecy over our lives. We begin to speak that Word over our lives. My God shall supply all my needs. That is the way it works. That's the way we can stand on the promises of God. And all of this is done, of course, in faith. Worship team, come. All of this is done in faith. You can read the Word of God. You know, when you open it up, Lord, here we go. I'm in Lamentations. Show me what you want to show me. You open it up and He begins to show you. You do it in faith. In faith. Everyone say faith. Faith, faith is not what I can see. Faith is faith. Faith is what you exhibited when you sat down in your chair today. None of you went, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me. You just sat down. We need to have that kind of faith in our God because He made a promise. And guess what? Every single time you sat down in that chair, it's held you. One of these days, it's not going to hold you. But my God will never fail you. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Understand this. How is it that we can stand on the promises of God? I'm going to do a sermon series, I think, real soon. Hang on a second. I'm going to do a sermon series on the lessons I've learned about God since becoming a grandfather. You can learn a lot of lessons. Number one is, if you stall, somebody else will change the diaper. No, that's not a lesson from God. I haven't changed one yet. So, here's how you stand on the promises of God. So, I've got this message all done. I was done on Tuesday. I even had the worship set done. Everything was all done. And I'm driving here yesterday to get ready to come to church. As I'm driving, there's a rattle. I'm done with the message. Done. And there's a rattle, and I hate rattles. And you know, when you drive along, you hear a rattle, like a rattle in the car. What is that? A Coke can? What's going on? I hear a rattle. I turn around and look, and sure enough, it's a grandchild's toy. It's a grandkid toy. And as soon as I looked and saw what it was, I got a lesson from God about this message. How do we stand on the promises of God? You know what toy it was? The cow says, "Meow." The elephant says, "Bah!" I know, it's pretty good, huh? Popeye says, "Eh." No, I'm teasing. How do we stand on the promises of God? You got to first see them and say them. See them, believe them, and say them. That's not, listen, the cow says, oh, come on, church. If you don't help me preach, I'm going to run around this church right now. The cow says, the elephant says, the horse says, the believer says, oh, I doubt that'll ever happen in my life. I doubt I'll ever be healed. That's just my lot in life. The believer says, believer. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. The believer says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The believer says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The believer says, I can open up this word and find incredible promises. The believer says, if I sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness. You mean I can shake the Etch-a-Sketch today and start over? Yes, you can. Are you hearing me today? We've got to see it. We've got to say it. And then when we get a hold of it and we know it's from God, stand on it and don't give up. I'm going to say it to you this way. The worship team is going to lead us in a song in just a second. But don't give up. The scripture says this in Mark 11. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt it in his heart, but believes. Say, believes. That those things he says shall be done, he will have whatever he says. There's a reason why this scripture says, let the weak say, I am. Let the poor say, I am. Is God telling the poor people to be liars? He says, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, let the lame say, hello. Let the addicted say, let the believer say, I believe. I believe God can do what he's done. I'm looking around the room at miracle after miracle after miracle in this room. And I believe God can do it for you. He's going to do it this week for you as we stand on his great and precious promises, knowing that God is enough for me. And it's not my circumstances. It's God and God alone. I want you to stand with me and sing this.
Your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You now.
Now.